Good morning, church. So good to see you. Welcome, welcome. So we're on a series called Counterculture. Everybody say Counterculture. Yeah, we're on a series about counterculture. It's a 8-week study on the Beatitudes. Beatitude means blessings. And so if you're on 8 weeks of Beatitudes, that means you're on 8 weeks of blessings. I'm telling you, that's pretty good. You want to be blessed 8 times before the end of the year? I do. So amen to that. Amen to that. So we're glad you're here to be a part of what God wants to bless. The interesting thing about what God blesses is very counter to what the world celebrates. The world celebrates striving and you know, pushing forward, and the world celebrates different things. God blesses people who have a great need for Him, that say, God, I want to surrender. Surrender isn't a cultural word that people like to say, well, I can't do it. I mean, what does the world say? You can do anything, right? I mean, that's what they tell all the kids in school. You can do anything. You know, you can't. You know, that's a lie. Listen, they could tell me that I could play basketball in the NBA all they want. It's not going to happen, right? You know, but God blesses those that surrender their life to Him. God blesses those who mourn over their sin. How many people liked the sermon last week and the preacher last week? Man, so good, so good. God blesses people who are merciful and have a pure heart. And these are things that are counter to the culture and what the world celebrates. But we want to do God's character, God's way, and receive His blessings as we live for Him His way. Last week, we talked about those who mourn over their sin. Today, Matthew 5:5. And let's just read this together. It's going to be on the screen. Matthew 5:5. 1, 2, 3. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek. Meek. Meek doesn't sound like a very strong word to aspire to. I don't know anybody that said, this year my goal is to be meek. Have you ever heard anybody compliment somebody and go, dude, man, you're so meek? You'd probably say, shut up, man. Get away from me. Because we don't understand meek very well. Now, I don't think that, help me out. If you're like 20 or younger, you might have to help me here. But is on fleek still a term that's used today? No. Okay. Well, if it were, all right, if it were, this would be a great rhyme for you, because you could say, you're so meek that you're on fleek. Right, but it just doesn't work today, does it? No one ever said that. Here's what I want to tell you today, though, and this is my sermon title. Is meekness is not weakness. And the reason you don't understand the word meek is probably because it's not in our common vernacular today, no more than on fleek should be either. What does it mean to be meek? Well, I think there might be some better translations that might help us understand it. Matthew 5:5 out of the New Living Translation says, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Humble. So we probably understand humble a little bit better. Matthew 5:5 in the American Standard Version says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. So at least with those two terms, humble and gentle, it begins to maybe make a little more sense about the character trait that Jesus would bless. Blessed are the gentle. We're going to use the word gentle today as the character trait, gentleness as the character trait that we want to study from today, and understand that blessed are the gentle. So what is that going to look like to be gentle? Honestly, I love this verse. He says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the whole earth. That's quite an inheritance if you're inheriting the whole earth. I mean, that's pretty huge, but what does that mean to inherit the whole earth? Because it's not talking about you inheriting property or, you know, finances or wealth. It's not talking about that. What it's saying is, and it's describing a person who has influence in the world. A person with a gentle spirit will have influence in the world, and that's what it's talking about. In other words, the world will respond to you, and you'll have the world in your hands if you learn to operate with a gentle spirit. It's saying that a person who operates with this gentle heart, this gentle spirit, will have an increasing amount of influence with the people around your life and in the culture that you live in. When you understand gentleness, it becomes your strength, and God uses it to bring influence in your life. Most of us would define meekness or humility or even gentleness as being something weak or a pushover or maybe a place of passivity, you know, where you know, people kind of run over you. But a gentle-spirited person is the strongest person on earth, in my opinion, and they have the ability to influence culture more than anyone else. It's worthy of us to study and understand gentleness because God uses it to bless your life. And here's what it says in Psalm 37:11. It says, but the meek, or you could replace that with gentle, but the meek or the gentle, they will inherit the land, and also it says they'll enjoy peace. Who wants peace in your life? We want peace. Gentleness brings a peace into your life. And it says they will be prosperous. Amen to that. Come on, don't be all religious on me. You want some prosperity. Like, you put your, listen, if you don't want prosperity, give me yours, all right? I'm fine with that. Listen, I'll tell you what, I want all of God's blessings, and the gentle, it says, will inherit this. So there must be something great about this word, gentle. And so out of the Greek translation, and I speak about the Greek translation at times because the original text that Jesus spoke in, language he spoke in, was out of the Greek. And sometimes when you look at the Greek translations, you can get a deeper meaning of the word. And so the Greek translation for gentle is praus, praus. I think I pronounced that right. If you're a Greek scholar, you can correct me after service, but praus is the word. But let me tell you what it means, and this is how I want you to think about it when I talk about gentleness today. It is exercising God's strength under control. It's like having the ability to control the power and the authority that God has in you to not abuse others with it. God is giving you gifts and he gives you authority, and it's operating in kindness and control with what God has given you. It's demonstrating power without undue harshness. See, gentleness isn't about being a pushover. It's about being powerful, but knowing how to use it in a way that doesn't offend and hurt others. It's gentleness and strength combined. It's passion under control. You know, passion's an interesting thought because when passion is used incorrectly, it can cause a lot of pain in your life. It can cause a lot of pain in other lives. Passion without control is problematic. But passion under God's control can serve your purpose in life. And so we want to have our passion under control, and that's what gentleness is all about. The Greeks, when they heard the word praus, when Jesus spoke it, they were thinking about a term that relates to a wild animal being tamed. And so when Jesus said, blessed are the gentle, or he said praus, they thought about a wild animal that had been tamed. And what it means is that, consider like this, a powerful stallion that is strong and fast and quick, and he's a wild animal and he's roaming freely without restraint, and he has no purpose in the world as he runs free without control. But when you tame a horse, he will be harnessed and able to be used for a purpose. A tame horse is no less a powerful horse. It's just a horse that has been brought under control. And it's still powerful, it's still fast, but now it bottles up that power and it's ready for the master's use. And that's what gentleness is all about. Gentleness is being able to control your emotions under pressure. It's the ability to respond to any situation calmly and in control. It's like, gentleness is keeping your calm when your children get on your very last nerve. Gentleness is not flying off the handle when your spouse upsets you. Gentleness. It's not overreacting when a friend presumably betrays you. It's gentle. It's responsive but not reactive. Gentleness is not losing your temper in a traffic jam on College Road. Gentleness. Gentleness is hitting delete, delete, delete before you send that snarky remark back on social media. How many of you done that? You saw something that just irritated you and you started sending something back, and just before you hit send, you went, no, 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 delete, delete, delete. That's what gentleness is. It says, I own my emotions. My emotions don't own me. That's what gentleness is. I own my passions and I own my responses. It's no more the devil made me do it. It's I am in control of what I say, what I do, and how I feel and what I respond to. We can all act like a Christian, but can we react like one under pressure? That's when you know whether or not you have a gentle spirit. Gentleness is, though, more than just keeping calm under pressure. It's also when we respond to the situation in control. Gentleness isn't a pushover. Gentleness doesn't say, you get your way with me. And gentleness has nothing to do with being, you know, a doormat in life. It's just having a controlled, calm response back, and you speak it back in a way that people can receive it without hurting them in the midst of it. You know, you can say truth and still hurt somebody, because how we say it matters as much as what we say. And gentleness is that place of learning to say it. I have a 70-pound kettlebell here. That's no light matter right there. So I'm not going to do much with it except stand there and hold it. Some of you are strong and you could, you know, like lift this thing over your head and stuff, but that's 70 pounds. That's a pretty heavy piece of weight right there. 70 pounds. Let me illustrate to you what gentleness is. Because 70 pounds has the ability to be destructive if I threw it at you. So if I looked at the front row and said, whew, you know, that would be a lot of trouble for you. It would have a lot of destructiveness, because 70 pounds coming at you like this, you couldn't stop it. It would injure you. If I dropped it on the stage, it probably cracked the wood. Gentleness is this, though. It says, I have 70 pounds of weight of truth that I want to hand to you, and I'm going to do it like this. It doesn't take away from the weight of what you say. It keeps you from injuring those around you. Gentleness isn't about not saying the right thing. Gentleness isn't about being an influence or not being an influence in the culture. Gentleness is about taking your 70-pound truth and you set it down gently so that it carries the weight that it's supposed to carry, so that when someone receives it, they can feel the weight of it without being injured. We want to be gentle with what we say and how we say it. Jesus said that God blesses us when we're gentle. God doesn't bless us when we throw the 70-pound weight at somebody. Let me give you three practical ways to apply gentleness in your life. Number one, gentleness diffuses conflicts. It de-escalates anger. It throttles down an argument. It diffuses a time bomb in any relationship before it explodes. Proverbs chapter 15, 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So your response in a conflict has the ability to either defuse it or escalate it. So when someone speaks to you in a loud, angry voice, you have the ability to either put water on that or gasoline on it. You can throw water on a situation and defuse it, or you can match it with anger for anger, and you can put gasoline on it and create a bigger mess than you originally had to begin with. Most of the time, people will respond back to you in the way you respond to them. Most of the time. When someone is angry around you, there's a natural tendency to want to be angry with them. I mean, somebody can come at you, you don't know what they're mad about. Your first shot is, what are we talking about? Because that's our natural response. You can be around somebody that's very happy and energetic, and just being around them, you're like, oh, I'm happy and energetic, because we tend to emulate and mirror the emotion that's coming at us. You hang around somebody that's depressed all the time, for instance, you can be, I don't feel very happy. Because we tend to. Here's the thing, though, with gentleness. God is giving us the control of the situation to where the culture doesn't dictate you. You dictate the culture by gentleness. Let me give you a simple tip. If you're taking notes today, please write this one down. Because this is going to save you so many problems and a lot of heartaches and a lot of places and conflicts in your life. When other people raise their voice, you lower yours. And I mean that like exactly how it sounds. You're with your spouse and one of you gets really irritated and and instead of you matching at that level, you say, let's just talk. It'll make a difference. Because people don't like to fuss and fight with people that won't fuss and fight with them. And so you just wait your time and you respond with truth. I'm not saying we don't get the conversation had. I'm just saying how you respond, gentleness. Because that's where God says, I can bless that. Because now we're having a conversation. Do you know that's the problem with our culture today? We don't know how to have a conversation. We just stay mad at each other. He said that, I said that. He voted for them, they voted for them, and they like that, and they feel this, and we don't ever have a conversation because we don't understand gentleness, and our nation is not being blessed because we don't have gentle spirit around. It should be in the church, though, where we have a gentle spirit. Like, this ought to be a place where we can maybe not see eye to eye on everything, but we can still love each other, and we can have a conversation, and we can work it out. See, gentle spirit creates an atmosphere where we can talk and fix the problems in our life. So that simple tip will save you enormous problems of conflict in your life, whether it's marriage, parenting, friendships, whether you're at work. When people raise their voice, you need to automatically learn to lower yours. And that's called gentleness. That's strength under control. Don't fight fire with fire. Matter of fact, you know what you ought to do? Is you ought to ask God for thick skin and a tender heart. So when stuff comes your way, it just hits you, but it doesn't get into you, and you respond with a tender heart. Thick skin, tender heart. Here's another way to apply gentleness. Gentleness is influential. It brings influence into your life. This is really important if you want to be a leader. Proverbs 25:15 says, with patience, you can convince a ruler. I love this second part. Wives, this is a time for you not to say amen. It says, a gentle word can get through to the hard-headed. Ha, ha, ha. That's funny, guys. Some of you are like, yeah. Hey, do you know anybody hard-headed? You might be sitting beside them. I don't know. But here's a promise to all of you. You can get through to them. You can influence their life with a gentle word. Here's a fact. People with controlled strength and passion will rise to the top of leadership every time, because no one ever wants to follow a hothead or a person that loses their emotional capacity in a situation. People don't like to follow that. They'll leave that. If you want to be a leader in your home, in your office, your classroom, in government, wherever it may be, in church, then you must learn to be gentle in spirit. You must learn to carry 70 pounds without hurting people and applying wisdom with it. A harsh and critical leader will lose their following every time. But in Proverbs 16:21, it says, the wise are known for their understanding and pleasant words, that's gentleness, the way you say what you're going to say. Pleasant words are persuasive. And so you'll have the ability to be influential in your life if you learn to carry 70 pounds without hurting people. Leadership is always about influence. The worst kind of leadership is manipulation, or in a way that someone has to. I know a lot of bosses that pay their people to be in their company and to follow them, but that doesn't mean they're a leader. That just means they pay him money. A true leader has gentleness, and they can carry 70 pounds around and be respected because they don't hurt people and they carry truth with them. Number three, a great way to apply gentleness in your life, and I love this one, because it said gentleness is a place of peace. So gentleness relieves my stress. Who would love to see stress be... One of the greatest stress makers in your life comes from broken relationships and how we carry offenses in our life. We carry that stuff around all day long, and it creates a stress in our body. Matthew 11:28 says this. It says, come to me. These are Jesus' words. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. That's the definition of stress. Weary and burdened, that's stress. And it says, I will give you rest. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So what Jesus is teaching here is take my yoke, meaning come beside me and begin to act like me and begin to be like me. I mean, is it the call of a Christian to be like Christ? That's what he's saying, be like me. And he said, for I am. So gentle, it says. It says, I am gentle and I am humble in heart. So what it's saying is that as the more you become like Christ, the more you're going to become gentle. And then it goes on to say, when you're gentle and humble in heart, what happens? You find rest for your souls. So the more you're like Christ, the more gentle you become. Because Jesus didn't go around slamming people. He brought truth. But he was gentle. And so he didn't carry around the fight of the day. And it says you will find rest. If you want rest from your stress, then you must be more like Jesus. The Bible says the more Christ-like we become, the more gentle we become, the more peace we'll have in our life. Maybe the reason that you are stressed out all the time, maybe the reason why you're tired and you feel this pressure in your life all the time is because you're not gentle in spirit and you're carrying around a fight on the inside of you all the time. Like you're just irritated all the time. Now you may not say it to everybody, but you feel the tension inside. And you're just irritated at culture. You're irritated at Facebook. You're irritated at your friends and people that do things different, and that you just, it gets inside of you. And a gentle spirit allows those things to happen, but they don't control you. You control your emotions. Some of you might be stirred up and stressed out every day because you allow the culture to control your emotion. We are counterculture because we are gentle in spirit and we have our emotions under control. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us and he guides our life, and he says we respond with a gentle nature to people. And that means that when someone offends you and honks their car at you and flips you off, or your boss says something that makes no sense, or your wife says something, or your husband says something that goes against your grain, instead of you going, rah, you go, you know what? Holy Spirit, you got this. Let's have a conversation. I have some truth. I have 70 pounds I want to hand to you. And so you don't get stressed over that. You live in peace. We act like Jesus. We react like him under pressure. You can walk in God's rest or your own stress. It's up to you. Gentleness becomes this shield about you from the conflicts and the negativity of culture that comes at you. And if you let it control you, then you're going to live in stress. But if you learn to be gentle in spirit to where you say, you know what? That doesn't affect how I respond. I have truth to share back. Here's a simple prayer for you today. Real simple. Pray this Monday because it's going to happen. You're going to have an opportunity to lose it this week. Probably either this afternoon or Monday. Pray this. Lord, help me to respond to people the way Jesus would. Lord, just help me to respond to the people the way Jesus would. Help me to respond to them the way Jesus would. I just want to respond the way Jesus would. That means that you're tender without surrender. So you're not being a pushover. You're just being tender without surrender. You're just going, all right, I got this. You don't own me. You don't control me. I'm just going to respond back in love. It means you are understanding without demanding. It means that you walk in grace for other people because you don't know what they're responding. You don't know why they're having a bad day. You know, so many people are having awful days around you. It has nothing to do with you, but you get the brunt of it. You know, people can be having the worst day at work, and you see them at the coffee shop, and they push you out of the way and get up there, and you're like, what's wrong with them? And see, grace just says, I'm understanding without demanding right now. I'm just going to be gentle in the spirit. Have your way. Lord, help me to respond to people the way you would. You are meekness without weakness. You see, this message today is about having a gentle spirit. That doesn't mean you're a pushover. It just means you have your emotions and your thoughts under control. And Jesus said that you'll be blessed when you have a gentle spirit. A gentle spirit diffuses conflicts. You'll have a better marriage if you learn to have a gentle spirit. I just came back from Guatemala, and one of the problems in Guatemala is how the men treat their wives. And they abuse their wives both emotionally, at times physically, and the wives are trapped in a system. They don't know how to get out because it's their only source of food and just the only way they can live. And so they stay in situations when they shouldn't, but they can't figure out a way out. The problem is with those men and it, potentially with men that are here today, is we don't know how to control our emotion. And as a result, we end up treating people we love in a way that hurts them. Now, I said that in a soft way, but what I mean is that, men, it's not ever right to take your 70-pound strength that you have, whether it's your authority as the head of your household or your physical strength, to abuse your wife in any shape, form, or fashion. The Bible says that you'll be blessed when you have a gentle spirit and you treat your wife with that gentle heart, that gentle nature. It'll improve your marriage. It also says that with a gentle spirit that we will be better parents. You see, you should never discipline your children out of anger and frustration. Now, you should discipline your children, but only after you've cooled down. Discipline's right with a gentle spirit, and it produces great fruit in your children. Discipline is sinful when you do it out of anger and frustration. And it'll produce a child that is exasperated. The Bible says don't exasperate your children. And so if you meet your children with anger, guess what you're going to get back from your children? They're going to be angry in life. You'll have better friendships. You'll have influence in life with a gentle spirit. God will give you rest when you learn to operate with a gentle spirit. Hey, would you do the favor of me? Would you just pray this in your heart with me? I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. You don't have to say it. Just hear it, but let it be your prayer. Dear Jesus, I'm not by nature a gentle person. I'm just not, God. I need your help. I need your spirit of power and love and self-control. And this week, God, when conflict arises, help me to lower my voice when others raise theirs. Help me to be tender without surrendering my values this week. Help me to be graceful when it'd be easier to be offended. Help me in my relationships to respond with a gentle spirit and not with anger. Lord, I want to be like Jesus and respond to people the way you would. I want my passion to be under control so that I do not create pain in others, but I live for your purpose. And God, this week, help me. Help me, Lord, to walk in your rest and not my stress by not allowing others to control my emotions. Lord, help me to have a gentle spirit in Jesus' name. And with every head bowed for just this moment, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, then in just a moment, I want to give you that opportunity today. Many people in this auditorium have, in fact, said, Jesus, I want you in my life. I surrender to you. And it's the best decision we've ever made. I would love for you to make that decision today. The Bible teaches us that the only way for us to receive forgiveness from our sin and the penalty of that sin, the bondage of our sin, the only way to get that forgiven is believing on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so with this moment, as we sit here and your head is bowed, is there anyone that would lift their hand to me and say, Pastor, today I want to invite Jesus Christ into my life to be my Lord and Savior and my sins forgiven. Is there anyone here today? If so, would you raise your hand to me? I see one. Anyone else? Is there anyone else? Let's all say this prayer out loud together. Join me, whether you've been saved for years or if today is your first time. Join me in this. Jesus, I invite you into my life. I need your forgiveness of my sin. I turn to you for all my hope and future. I want to follow you, learn from you, and trust you for the rest of my life. Today, I'm a child of God. Today, I am forgiven, and I have a hope and a future because of Jesus. Amen and amen, church. Would you stand to your feet? Come on, church, stand up. Let's worship just a moment.